Furthermore, it is said in the Samdhi Nirmanachaya Sutra that all the limitless samadhis that are taught in the Mahayana Hinayana are subsumed under quiescence and insight. That since those who aspire for samadhi cannot investigate the limitless specific types, they should well explore the means of cultivating quiescence and insight, which are the general synthesis of all samadhis. So although these two, the practice of quiescence or karma abiding, and the practice of special insight, so these two should be the kind of the qualities or the meditations that the middle school person should be doing. So from that perspective, it is something, a kind of teaching in common with the middle school person. And again, in terms of the mere quiescence or the karma abiding and the mere special insight, again, that is something which is common to the non-Buddhist practice. But the kind of the quiescence or the practice of karma abiding and the wisdom of emptiness or the special insight taught here in the teaching, which is unique to the great school person, is something that is that really kind of follows the instructions or the meditation on bodhicitta. So in short, it means a practitioner who having already having generated bodhicitta. So that person, when he or she engages in the practice of Mahayana, so he is taught this unique practice of serenity, or sometimes translated as calm abiding, and in this case translated as quiescence. So the unique practice of quiescence and special insight is taught. So this why, so this topic, these two topics were presented separately in the end of the Mahayana section of this teaching. So, and also in relation to the practice of insight, especially insight, if you can complement it this with the attitude of altruistic bodhicitta, so there the wisdom can then be transformed or turned into the method or the way to achieve the highest state of enlightenment, Buddhahood. It is because of this that this practice of special insight is taught in the Mahayana section of this teaching. So in terms of the meditation on the emptiness, so it should be proper to meditate at this part, as taught in this the teachings of Lamrim, the middle version of the Lamrim. But in terms of gaining insight or gaining understanding of emptiness, it should be so good if you can do that much earlier before you actually start the entire path. So right at the outset, it should be good if you could understand emptiness. Because when you speak about the Four Noble Truths, also this teaching is something common to the lower school person or the middle school person. But in terms of the understanding of the Four Noble Truths in the subtlest sense, it is only through implementing, it is only through associating with the concept of emptiness, as in the Madhyamika school of thought. So, as such, this concept of Four Noble Truths, although that is presented as something common to the teachings of the middle school person, but in actuality, in terms of the subtlest understanding of that, it is presented, it should be presented in the Mahayana section. Because to understand the Four Noble Truths perfectly, when you speak about the truth of the cessation, it has to be understood in terms, in relation to the ultimate reality, emptiness. So the nature of quiescence and insight. Here is the meaning. So, first, the quiescence. So that is a mental state which remains single-pointedly focused on an object. But that mere the power to maintain single-pointed attention itself cannot be classified as classified as the authentic quiescence or calm abiding. So, what more should we need? What more do we need on top of that on top of that potential to remain single pointedly on the object? So that is the quality or the experience of pliancy, the bliss of pliancy should accompany, should complement the single pointed meditation, single pointedness. So, whenever you achieve such a state of single pointedness, single-pointed meditation, which is complemented by the bliss of pliancy, so that kind of concentration is then classified as quiescence or calm abiding. And whereas in the absence of this, the experience of the bliss of pliancy, mere single-pointed, the power of single-pointedness cannot be classified as the quiescence. So to put it again, now that mental state, that mental mental faculty, which has the capacity to single-pointedly observe or focus on an object, and complemented by the experience of the bliss of pliancy, is quiescence or calm abiding. And next, the nature of spatial insight. So in the here in the text, it first cites a sutra as a source. So, in order to achieve spatial insight, first of all, you have to have achieved a quiescence. So while your mind is single-pointedly or focused on an object, and then at the same time employing the analytical investigation on the object, on top of single-pointed observed, immersed there. When one has achieved physical pliancy and mental pliancy and dwells therein, one abandons the aspects of mind and inwardly examines or analyzes and takes an interest in the phenomena under consideration as experienced images of samadhi. With respect to such experienced images of samadhi, the differentiation of objects of knowledge, their thorough differentiation, investigation, analysis, forbearance, acknowledge, classification, the view of those objects, and the ideation concerning them are called insight. Thus is a bodhisattva skilled in insight. Here, differentiation refers to probing into the diversity of phenomena, and thorough differentiation refers to probing into the real nature of phenomena. Investigation refers to gross investigation, and analysis refers to subtle analysis. The Ratna Megasutra states, quiescence is single-pointed attention, insight is discernment. And Holy Maitreya says, the path of quiescence is to be known as the fixation of mental representations of phenomena, while the path of insight is to be known as the investigation of the reference, and independence and independence upon genuine stability due to directing the mind on itself and due to differentiating phenomena, their acquiescence and insight. And independence upon genuine samadhi or concentration, the placement of attention is said to be quiescence, and a wisdom that examines phenomena is said to be insight. The Bodhisattva Bhumi concurs with this, and the intermediate Bhavana Karma also states, upon calming distraction through its outer objects, abiding in the mind itself, endowed with pleasure and pliancy, in continuously and naturally attending to an inner meditative object is called quiescence. While abiding in that quiescence, the analysis of thatness is inside. The Prashnaparamita Padesha gives a similar explanation. So, according to the Bodhisattva Bhumi and the Prashnaparamita Padesha, both quiescence and insight may have the real nature of phenomena and the diversity of phenomena as the meditative objects. Prashnaparamita Desa gives a similar explanation. So, according to the Bodhisattva Bhumi and the Prashnaparamita Padesa, both quiescence and insight may have the real nature of phenomena and the diversity of phenomena as the meditative objects. Therefore, quiescence and insight are not to be distinguished in terms of the meditative objects. There is quiescence that realizes emptiness as well as insight that does not realize emptiness. So, it is not necessary that whenever we speak about the special insight, it should be something that is focused on emptiness. It is not necessary to be focused on emptiness. When the dispersion of the attention to external objects is calmed, and the mind remains inwardly upon its meditative object, that is called quiescence, and when there is superior, that is special, vision that is called insight. Those are mistaken who maintain that attention that remains without conceptualization and without the potency of clarity of awareness is quiescence. The attention with the potency of clarity is insight, for this contradicts all that was said previously, and that distinction is merely the difference between samadhi with and without laxity. For all samadhis of quiescence, it is certainly necessary to clear out laxity, and in all samadhis that are free of laxity and clarity of attention definitely ensues. Therefore, the issues of whether or not a samadhi of wisdom is focused upon emptiness must be decided in terms of whether or not that cognition realizes either of the two types of identitylessness, for there are incalculable, joyful, clear, non-conceptual samadhis that are not focused on thatness. So, in terms of that kind of wisdom, accompanied by the single-pointed meditation or quiescence, so it is not guaranteed that that should be wisdom focused on emptiness, even if that is the quality of clarity and blissful the bliss of pliancy. So there are examples of meditations of wisdom which is accompanied by these two qualities, and yet not a meditation of deafness or emptiness. So, and also, on the other hand, we also have the meditation on emptiness, which is accompanied by these two kind of qualities, the quality of the clarity and the quality of the bliss of pliancy. As such, we should really be able to distinguish between the two kinds of the meditations, one which is the meditation emptiness and the other not. Otherwise, people tend to mistake or get confused between these two kinds of meditations and thinking that any kind of meditation accompanied by these two qualities, it must be something which is the meditation on emptiness. But this is not the case in reality.